Hey everyone, check out this new film on Amazon Prime called Eight Remains. It's free to all Prime members.
Welcome back to Extra Features Interviews. Today we have a guy all the way from Texas. Even though we've had other people from Texas, he hasn't told us where he lives. He might even know the other guys we've interviewed from Texas. But we're going to find out today. Juan Salas is here with his new film, Wolfcatcher. Welcome to the show.
What's up, man? Awesome. Thanks for having me.
I guess the first question I'd ask, what part of Texas are you from?
Originally, you know, I'm from Fort Worth originally. But I ended up in Dallas. Right after college, I attended the Art Institute of Dallas, and just been out here since. Out in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, nope, you won't know the other guys. They're all Houston's. You're LX. Sorry, you guys cannot. Cannot.
Awesome.
So what made you want to be a director and do a feature film, not a short?
Well, you know, I've always had a fascination with film, even since I was a kid, you know, especially with the camera. And, you know, growing up, you know, I'd watch movies, you know, a lot of movies, and I found myself, you know, very intrigued with the camera. So, you know, I'd pick up the camera here and there, my mom and dad's camera, and just really run around and not really know what I was doing. I was probably like 8, you know, and I put it down and I went to high school, and, you know, videography and filmmaking wasn't really looked at like, oh, that's cool, you know. That was like a random class in high school, so I didn't even pursue it then, but I just had this fascination with the camera, and my senior year, I just got into Quentin Tarantino films, especially David Fincher films. I'd watch them over and over, and I'm like, why am I just watching it over and over? And, you know, I was just very intrigued, so I thought, like, let me just try to be a camera guy, you know, and see what happens. You know, it wasn't really, how do I say this? You know, it was more of a dream I was pursuing, you know. I didn't expect anything out of it, you know. And so I decided to go to the Art Institute of Dallas and study videography. So I went there for about 4 years, and I got used to the camera and then editing. But of course, you know, I learned everything that comes with it. It's not just picking up a camera, you know. The editing, depending on the project, is intense, you know. And I got educated on, you know, cinema and things like that, lighting, cinematography. And, you know, getting into that, towards my last year in college, I started doing music videos. Now, I didn't really expect that, but it started going, and it was local hip-hop acts, you know, in Dallas. I think my biggest one was a Bun B video that had Rick Ross on it. And, you know, meeting Rick Ross, I was like, whoa, you know, I wasn't expecting all that. And then the music videos came after. You know, I started doing more music videos, and, you know, I never really lost thought of, you know, I kind of want to make a movie, you know, eventually. But, you know, what I did was I was doing freelancing. I was freelancing doing music videos, and just to do a 3-minute music video, I mean, depending on what all is involved, it gets intense. Some of my artists that I got to work with are like MTV Riff Raff. He was one. Little John. I got to meet Little John. That was pretty cool. Ran into Pitbull. You know, he's like a major artist, an international artist now. But I ran into all these people, you know, doing music videos, and it wasn't really up until about a couple of years ago, in about 2013, actually. That's actually a few years. But I decided to, you know, let me try to make a movie. You know, I knew 3 minutes in a music video was hard, so I was like, an hour and a half. You know, an hour and a half, that seems crazy. But I went for it, and, you know, that's what got me going into indie movies, as far as that goes.
Wow, that was an awesome answer. Do you find, like, as I found your film very much like a music video at times?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Was that your plan to have it Like, I'm not saying the whole film was a music video, but I'm saying I found sections. So I was watching a bit of a video, then you would cut to a war scene, then back to a video. Because I found whenever we weren't in the war, you really overlaid a lot of music over that. And I think that's your background.
Yeah. As you can see, it's apparent that, yeah, I come from a real music video heavy background. And I think that, you know, got me prepared as far as, you know, as far as visually, of course, you know, you want substance, not just visual. But, you know, for the most part, you know, being in music videos at least kind of got me prepared going forward. And, yeah, you'll probably notice, you know, my musical background coming in and out, you know, of the movie, you know, and we'll get into that in a few seconds.
Well, yeah, we were actually going there right now, so you're good. I want to ask you, where did your musical choices come from? Because it's heavy music-based, your film.
Yeah. For the most part, this particular film, as far as the hip-hop soundtrack, yeah, you know, I come from a hip-hop background, so I think that shows through. And apart from just hip-hop, I added a bit of Spanish music. I'm Mexican, and so I decided to put that music in for a couple of scenes. And apart from that, you know, we had the film scored, which is the music you probably heard when the war scenes. It was scored by Will Von de Kramer. And, man, as far as working with him, I thought he did a fantastic job on the scoring. I think as far as what I was trying to capture, you know, it goes in and out of the movie, you know, in instances. And I think he did a great job as far as that music. But, yeah, there's music all over it. Yeah. You know, I love music. I think it really carries the film, you know, having, you know, visual and audio. You know, but I am, yeah, very influenced by, you know, music in general, you know, hip hop, you know, orchestra or whatever.
Like, where'd your drone shots? Were you the drone operator or somebody else? You had beautiful drone shots throughout this film.
Oh, awesome. Well, I did film some things, but I also had a camera, the videographer and the cinematographer. His name is George Villa. He did a great job with the drone stuff. He was all over Texas. You know, he went down to Mexico as well to get that Mexico shot. You know, being independent, it's not like, it's not like we're on a Hollywood budget to, you know, travel to these different countries and get stuff. And I was like, I need a shot in Mexico. And I was like, how am I going to do that or pull that off? You know, and, you know, the only way to do that is to get down there and get the shot. So that was interesting as far as that particular drone shot. But, yeah, the work is by our cinematographer, George Villa, and he did a great job, you know, as far as getting what we wanted on those drone shots.
So what drew you to the war? Like, you definitely have distinct stories, right? I mean, you have the brother, and then you have the brother in the war who we don't really get to know. I wish I knew a bit more about it,
yeah,
other than flashbacks.
Yeah. You know, the film itself, when you're putting a movie together, you try to make the movie at least flow as much as you can. We shot a lot of stuff, and towards the end, when we're condensing it, you know, some scenes didn't really make it in as far as, and that was just for pacing. You know, there's a lot going on in the movie, so just trying to even things out, you know, we got to cut down a couple of scenes. But yeah, as far as the war in the film is about a soldier played by Adrian Lockett. He returns from war to find out his brother has been murdered. And, you know, that sets him off, you know, being from war. He just got, you know, he's out there fighting for us, and he comes back, and his brother's been murdered. So that, you know, sets him off on a journey. And with the help of his uncle, you know, he seeks to, you know, to get revenge on the people that did it, all while being pursued by a DEA agent played by Christian Petrovich, who has his own agenda. So as far as the war scenes, the film is not linear. And that was something I decided while we were editing. I was trying to find the most interesting way to tell the story, you know, versus the traditional linear. I've been inspired by movies like Babel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, movies that intersect storylines in, or 21 Grams with Sean Penn. I remember the first time I saw that. It just blew me away because I was like, what's going on? And you just kind of stuck to it. You know, Benicio del Toro scenes, Sean Penn. And it's not even in linear time. So when you get to the end of it, you put it all together. I think it just, you know, engages the audience to as much as you can. You know, that movie had heavy actors. But it engages you to, like, okay, what's going on? At least it gets towards the end. And hopefully, you know, you get a reward out of it. But that was the idea with the war scenes, is to kind of show you where the character is coming from and where he's been as far as the war scenes go.
So where did you shoot your war scenes? Because it looks very realistic, I thought, at most times.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. You know, part of filmmaking is, you know, a lot of times what you don't see. You know, we obviously could not go, you know, to Iraq. You know, I couldn't take my actors out there and film out there. So we did some intense location scouting and, you know, we tried to get as close to the visual as possible. That was an abandoned warehouse where we filmed that at.
Hold on. That's all an abandoned warehouse?
Yeah.
Wow. Doesn't look like one at all.
Yeah. Oh, awesome, man. Thank you. And I'll tell you a crazy story. We had to film there twice. And granted, you know, I'm just throwing this out, I don't know what you're saying, but, you know, we're an independent production. You know, permits are, you know, if we can get them, great. If not, you know, we just go for it. And that's like guerrilla filmmaking. So we went and we filmed scenes at that warehouse one day. When we were finished, we got back and we noticed, well, I noticed a piece of Adrian's costume, the army fit, was missing a very important piece, man. And I was just stuck. I was like, I can't believe we forgot that. And everyone was like, bro, let it go. That abandoned, you know, we'll shoot that warehouse is by downtown, by like a police station and stuff. So you're not even supposed to be in there. And I was going to let it go. But towards the end of the editing process, it was just biting me like, dude, you do not have that missing piece that most will recognize that you don't have. And that'll kind of put a dent in what we're trying to do. So one day we were just like, you know what? I was like, let's just go reshoot it. And everyone was like, no, just let it go. And I was like, you know, if I let it go, it'd be like everything was like for nothing, you know, even sneaking across that. Let's just try to get some shots. If we get caught, you know, I'll take the blame, whatever. So we went back to that warehouse, and it was not easy to get in. That was for one. And we had, like, you know, no more than an hour. Like, bro, go in there and get out. And luckily we got it, you know, and that warehouse was torn down a couple of days later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that was, like, right on time. And I was like, it was worth it, you know. Even if the movie ain't the best in the world, I got that piece of equipment on the soldier so that when soldiers see it, they'll be like, okay. You know, and that's not explained, but that's a little, you know, a little behind the scenes bit that happened as far as that with that warehouse.
So you just discussed the show filmmaking. You do have a scene at Taco Bell.
We have a scene at Taco Bell?
Yes.
In the movie?
Yes.
Oh, I gotta scan right through it, man.
You know what I'm talking about? When the guy's talking to the woman about the date, taking her to Miami?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember now.
Now, was that guerrilla filmmaking?
Yeah. You know, some of it. We went to get something to eat. Well, I had to set the scene somewhere, and I'm like, well, where would a college person go? And I actually went to college not too far from there, so I was like, let's go here. And that was the kind of that was actually part of our pickup shot that we did towards the end. That's what that was. I needed a conversation, and it wasn't like a big deal. You know, I know that's not the approach to, you know, serious filmmaking, but as far as for what we were trying to accomplish, I'm like, let's go over here, and we're like, cool. You know, that's where we would go. So that's how that particular scene played out. Yeah.
But it's your film. I mean, you should be able to do what you want.
Exactly. That's
don't
exactly
worry about it.
What we thought.
But now, the strip club, did you get permission, or how'd you do that one?
Okay, yeah, that one we definitely got permission. A friend of mine owns a club, and that was pretty fun to shoot, you know, to get the whole environment of the particular character played by Alexander Luna, his character and his lifestyle, you know, to capture that, yeah, we didn't have to have a permit for that. So that was, you know, not too hard to shoot as well.
So did you have problems getting permits, you think, or anything? Or you just sort of said, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. If I can't get a permit, I'm just going to go with it. That's what I'm kind of getting from you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I wish that, you know, we were back by the studio and I could shut things down and take more time to do better and bigger things. But, you know, as an independent filmmaker, you know, you're on a shoestring budget as it is. And that's before even trying to get a release. So I think some permits are like $5,000, $10,000, which is, you know, would be nice to do. But, you know, we work with what we have and we try to make the best out of it. You know, we wouldn't pick, you know, something that complements the film, not something that'll just take away completely, you know, is the goal.
So I want to go back to your musical background for a second here. Did you find, like, you have lots of beautiful people in this film. Like, the actors are beautiful. The women are beautiful. The locations are beautiful at times.
Awesome.
Not all the time. Didn't you find that musical background, that's where you got these people from? Because you seem to have a lot of people I wouldn't have expected in an independent film.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of beautiful people in the film. The actress, Lana, I think she's been published. She played Christian's girlfriend in the film, Morgan. Yeah, yeah, she played his girlfriend. She has, she's published, so it was very, you know, we were grateful to have her on board, as well as Christian. You know, Christian, if I can jump into that, when I wrote the film, I had seen Christian on Facebook, and I was like, I wonder if he would be interested in my film. I did two previous indie films before this. One was titled The Triple D Movie. That was an underground hip-hop crime movie. That was my first one, and that one did get a deal, an independent deal. And so that made noise as far as down here in Texas. So that kind of got my name out there. And then I did a horror movie, a sleep paralysis horror movie titled The Alp, which is now available on Vudu and iTunes, by the way. I did that one. And that made, you know, a decent little noise. And so the people that are involved in this movie, they've heard of me before that I can at least get something done. So I reached out to Christian. I was like, hey, man, I'm doing a movie. I got this character for you, and you're in mind for it. So I sent him the script. He saw it, and he read the script, and he said, yeah. That he would help out. And man, Christian contributed a lot to the film, you know, more than what I asked. And if I could jump into that, we ended up, when we finished the movie, we were getting ready for release, and my release date got pushed up to December, January. So I had about 5 months, and my friend's like, dude, you should totally go to film festivals with it. And then I've had some experience with film festivals, and it didn't go too good for me on my last movie. But I was like, what the hey, let's, you know, we worked hard on it, let's send it. And I didn't hear nothing for a couple of months. I didn't expect anything. And then we heard back from Italy. Italy contacted us that we were nominated for Best Feature Length and for Best Supporting Actor, Christian Petrovich. And we actually won that. Christian won Best Supporting Actor. And that was very well deserved. And like I said, having him involved was, you know, great, because he brought a lot to the role that I didn't really ask. The character of Morgan, and, you know, in the film, he kind of goes down his own road. And, you know, he read the script, and, you know, he brought back some ideas for the character. Originally, he was more one-sided than anything. And he brought back this idea of, you know, he threw a little more in there, extra. It was specifically the scenes with his dad. You know, we threw a little bit more weight to the character, and I think it really helped overall with the character. Because at the end of the movie, at one of our screenings, everyone was like, dude, I was so torn in the movie. Everyone loved the character Morgan. Everyone was talking about him. Like, they knew they weren't supposed to like him, but he was just relatable. And, you know, what Christian brings to the role, he comes from a model background as well. So, you know, he got that locked in. But, yeah, what he brought to the role was great. And then, of course, everyone else involved, what they brought on as well was awesome.
I think Christian definitely has a model look.
Yeah. He knocked it out, man. Everyone loves that. And yeah.
I do want to discuss one location, the dad location with the beer bottles in the apartment.
Yeah.
And, I mean, did you guys have to set that up or did you find it like that?
Man, I'll say for this podcast, I needed a place that was just torn down and beer bottles everywhere. So I literally just called my uncle one weekend. I was like, dude, I'm going to buy you a couple of six packs. I need you to finish these. And I know, you know, we just didn't have props. The best thing I thought of was like, I'm going to go buy a couple of couple of 12 packs. I'm going to drop it off. I need the location in the morning. So I that's probably a strange approach, but I think it got the job done.
I want to know more about the apartment. Whose apartment is that? The place is a dump.
I know. It looks, it's actually one side that's not actually in use. It's not in use. So, you know, they partied back there. I was just like, we made it look as bad as we could.
They look bad.
I think we even opened the window so like a fly or two could get in there. But yeah, man, that was just down the street. That's all that was.
Oh man, I was quite impressed with that. So you also have a lot. Where did you find? I want to know where you found your photos. You have photos of drugs and guns, and you show me those. They're really nice.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, we had to do some research. You know, with the subject matter in the film, you know, some of it wasn't easily obtainable, but we needed something that would sell the point across as far as, you know, the drug problem that's happening. You know, to get access to the, you know, to get that point across. So, yeah, we had to do some research, you know, look things up and see what we could use. You know, obviously some things we couldn't just go and film. So we had to do a lot of research and, you know, do what we can.
So also, where did you find all your guns? Like you said, you didn't have a lot of props. When that guy has guns, he has mass guns near the end of the film. Like that's a mass amount.
Yeah, all the guns on set, yeah, they're not props, man. We had to go and pick some stuff up.
Whoa, those are real guns?
Yeah. Everything on the set was real for sure. Yeah, I wish I could get some prop. I think maybe one was a prop, but everything on set is always like checked like 10 times at the least. I had two security guards. Well, they're friends, but they have a lot of knowledge on guns. They were on set, and, you know, they double-checked everything as well.
Hold on.
Adrian, he's from the Army, actually. The lead actor, Adrian Lockett, he was in the Army, so he had some stuff already, too. But, yeah, we were definitely safe on set. Everything was double-checked. Even before a shot, we would check, you know, every gun like twice right before we film. Hey, bro, just, you know, check it out real quick. But yeah, man, we had to get the real stuff on set.
Hold on. I want to go back to this. Who has this many guns?
Yeah, man, you know, we're in Texas. That's how we do it down here. Yeah.
Wow, I'm quite impressed then.
Yeah, man. Thankfully, it was just a call away, man, and I didn't have to struggle too much. You know, considering what I wrote down, when you write a movie, you try to write what's doable. So, you know, I tried not to steer too far from things. And, yeah, by the end of it, you know, there's guns everywhere. So I was like, yeah, I think there was a few days I was like, you know, trying to like, I had to call like a couple of friends like, bro, I I'm finna shoot the scene. And I think we had a prop gun and it had like this little tip at the end that was orange. And I used a marker to try to, you know, painted, and it just looked orange. And the cameras that we're filming on, they're like 4K cameras, so they capture detail. You know, to the T. And I was like, you know, it's not gonna look real. So yeah, we got to go get a couple of real guns. But it was sick for the most part. It was fun to shoot.
Wow. So you've had three films. You're telling us you've had three films. How do you get your funding for this film then? You've already had enough from the other two films, or you still have to crowdfund, or you're shooting music videos?
Well, Yeah, well, I definitely don't do crowdfunding. It's a hustle, and you have to work at it, especially being independent and, you know, hoping someone notices. You really just work your way through, and I've been fortunate to start in music videos, even though that wasn't even originally my plan. But, you know, you got to have realistic expectations. So I don't expect, like, to go to Hollywood, anything like that at this point, you know. But as far as getting funding, yeah, I fund these all by myself. I funded my first one, and, you know, a deal came out of that, and the situation arose from that. I funded my second one, and as well as this one. I'm glad that people are watching the movie and they're like, oh my God, it looks amazing. Cause you know, we put a lot into it, not a lot of money. It's a lot of talent and work. I got to thank my crew, you know, Bobby, Sam, Daniel and George, man, everyone that is part of the crew, part of my crew really contributed, you know, and they're not getting paid like big salaries. You know, but they're here to work, and everyone, you know, is just trying to do a good job, you know. With this movie in particular, this movie, I wanted to showcase what we can do in particular. What I mean by showcase is, like, I knew Christian had the look. I had to put him in a role that would make him shine. I know me and my cinematographer can shoot some cool shots, some nice, beautiful shots. You know, so this movie was approached more as a showcase. And yeah, they're not easily funded. You know, it's very hard. I think this film, it took me about a year and a half from filming and editing to finish it, about a year and a half. It'll normally take a Hollywood studio, I think, just like, what, 2 months to film it, maybe 4 to edit it, you know, on that type of budget. But yeah, from the level that we are operating, you know, we're not as fast, but, you know, we try to do the best we can with what we have for the most part.
Well, I always have to ask about catering on independent films, so I'm going to ask you about your catering.
Can you say that again?
How do you feed your crew?
Oh man. We order pizza and Wingstop, man. We love hot wings. So, yeah, I take care of the catering all the time afterwards. We filmed throughout the course of about 6 months. This was not like a 2-week shoot. So, you know, every time everyone came back, depending on which characters and all that, yeah, we just ordered out, man, just pizza, hot wings, you know, whatever was around the corner, really.
So how did you find the difference? I mean, I don't know how you did your last films, but taking such a big break for continuity issues and things. Hair changes, that changes.
It can get hard, and I'm sure it does, you know. Even with a lot of movies, you know, you'll notice little continuity things, and that, yeah, that does, it is an issue sometimes, and we just try to do the best that we can, especially moving forward. You know, every movie that I've done, and it's only 3, every movie has been a learning experience, and going forward for my next movie, which I'll talk about in a minute, you know, I take all the notes from these previous ones, you know, and that maybe I should condense everything so that it's, you know, absolute control, you know, and things like that. And, you know, especially in this movie, the story's big and has all these different characters. So, yeah, the continuity thing was, like, always there, you know. And if we got something wrong, I think we did, like, twice. We had to, you know, go back and fix it if it's noticeable and we can do something about it, you know, as far as continuity goes.
So your film is done. Obviously, where can people see this film, by the way? And what have you done with it? You did go to the film festival circuit with this one? You said you might.
Yeah. We went to the film festival circuit. We were in the film festivals. We heard back from Italy. We won right there.
And then where did you go after that? That's what I wanted to know. I know you went to Italy. What's next?
After that, we were nominated in Detroit. We won out there for Best Feature Film. We were nominated in Miami and in Los Angeles. And I think it's one other film festival as well. So we won about 8 awards total in our film festival run. Right now, this is an independent production. The film is available on the website, which is thewolfcatchermovie.com. The Blu-ray and the DVDs are available there. It's also available for rent and purchase on iTunes. That is now available as well. It's about to come out on Vudu. It was supposed to come out on Christmas, but they had to bump it up. So it'll be out on Vudu at the end of this month, about the start of February. So definitely be on the lookout for that. It'll be on there soon as well.
Why is it not on Amazon?
I think that's next. Everything kind of goes in steps as far as to, to what we can do. Everything is in steps, and everything is a process. I wish I could have it available on more platforms as well, but, you know, we got to see. Netflix has the film already. I sent that about a month ago. So, you know, just fingers crossed on that. I don't expect anything. But Netflix is a growing, platform, man. Everyone wants to be on there. And I think it was more accessible about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe. You could get a movie on Netflix. Now, it has changed completely, you know. They're actually making their own movies, like Roma. Did you get to see that movie, Roma?
I've seen half.
Yeah, so, like, they're on a whole nother level, so I don't know if they're accepting movies as much. But that is one of our hopes moving forward, you know. And as the year progresses, it'll definitely be available on more platforms, hopefully.
Okay, I don't want to forget. Let's go back to your new project, discuss it, even though we'll discuss it, I'm sure, in a future episode.
Yeah, man. No, we got to stay working. And, you know, I know this movie just got released. But as far as me as a filmmaker, I'm just like, what's next? Even though I don't want to think about it, I actually just finished the script. I'm hoping to do a sci-fi movie next. It's a sci-fi movie, and it definitely challenges what I've done now. You know, this movie's more of an urban crime movie, you know, urban crime to it. I'm going to try a sci-fi movie, and it challenges me on all these different levels. If I say the title, you'll know exactly where I'm going at, and it's just crazy. Our working title is just Blue River right now. It's called Blue River. It's the working title. But it is a sci-fi movie, and that's what we're working on, and it's going to be challenging. It's not going to be infused with a lot of hip-hop like my previous film. It's going a whole different direction. And I know it's going to be hell to shoot, but, we can't wait for that.
That's great. So you ready for some fun questions?
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
Because you've listened to two interviews, you're prepped, and they're nothing like those ones. You're out of luck.
Oh, okay.
Your favorite food?
My favorite food is hot wings. I love Wingstop.
So how hot do you go? Like, are we talking suicide hot? We're talking Brazilian hot sauce?
Oh, man. You know what? Not even that hot, actually. Have you heard of a show called Hot Ones on the internet?
No.
Dude, look up a show called Hot Ones, and it's like 10 wings, and they get hotter as you go. Look it up, man. It's awesome. Well, I don't think I'd even get to half of that. But, you know, I do enjoy hot wings, just not that hot. Not that hot.
Fair enough. Do you have a favorite sport?
Most recently, basketball. I've never really been into sports, but my kid plays basketball, so sitting on the sidelines, you kind of pick up on it. And now, you know, I'm over here watching the Mavericks, you know, the home team, of course. So basketball is definitely a sport I've been getting into lately.
So are you a parent that gets involved in the game?
No. Well, you know, they did make me, what's that, the guy that sits on the side and takes score. So I kind of had to, you know, get in the mix of it. That's probably where I picked up on it and stuff. But, yeah, I do help out.
Last question, which you might have heard before. Favorite film of 2018?
Wow, man, 2018. Wow, I saw the Golden Globes last night.
That was terrible.
Oh, man, I wish you get it too. You know what? My favorite film of 2018. I know what, The Avengers came out this year, right?
You can have Avengers Infinity War, yes, that would count.
I would have to say that, man. When I saw that, you know, I'm still a film goer. just seeing that on the big screen, you know, you've never seen nothing like that. Yeah, Avengers for sure. I think that's my favorite film as far as 2018 goes, yeah.
So are you excited about Captain Marvel then?
You know what? Am I excited? I know it's going to be cool. I know it'll be all right. You know, I'm definitely ready for the next Avengers to see what happens there.
Oh, we
but
all
they're
are.
Doing fantastic. That's that one I'm definitely excited for.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time. You were awesome. I hope you had fun.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. I had a lot of fun. Thanks for having me, man.
Okay. Have a great night.
You too, man.
Okay. Awesome. Bye-bye. Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page. Thank you.